They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, The 99 Restaurants, Sing Sang Cocktail in the Can, Win Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Rich Hill pitched deep into the sixth inning. Gave the Red Sox an opportunity to win today. And one bounce. Andres with a long throw. He's going to skip it over there and in time. And that's the ball game. So the Oakland A's pull out three. Red Sox can't sweep them twice. They do win the series with the St. Louis Cardinals coming in next.
Yeah, that three-run third inning, the big hit by Betancourt cost to Rich Hill this game. But, you know, they gave it a finish. You know, it's hard to win six in a row from a team as bad as Oakland is even.
No doubt. And you know what? Paul Blackburn threw a great game. Spotted his cutter and slider and fastball and curveball and gave him a chance to win, and Oakland got a W.
Final score, Oakland 4 and the Red Sox 3.
All right, here we go. Like I said, baseball season's here. You got it, Murray? Baseball season. Ha! Celtics eliminated. And now everybody turns their eyes to the Red Sox on a day they lose to the Oakland A's. Tell me that's not perfect. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Hour. So we are going to start Red Sox. Matt McCarthy is in, as he is every Friday. And I would say, all joking aside, it is sort of like a second opening day because there is this entire flow of people who, after the Celtics lost last night, are now devastated. They'll get home. They're semi-depressed, but they'll flick on the TV and go, oh, that's right, the Red Sox are playing. So I think you'll get more eyeballs on the baseball team now. And the question is, what are they going to see? What are they going to find? So let me start out with this. The 4-3 loss to Oakland yesterday, and you heard Dennis Eckersley talk about it there. And I agree with him. Even in the big leagues, hard to beat a team, even with a bad team in the big leagues, rather. Hard to beat a team six times in a row. They're usually going to get you once in there. Even so, oh my God, you can't lose that game. You can't lose to the A's. That team is wretched. The Red Sox yesterday in that game, 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. This was the kind of game they were having earlier in the year. They had all these at-bats with Ben on and couldn't deliver runs. Now, I'm not telling you have to panic about it. I'm not telling you should be angry about it. I'm just telling you it's an irritating loss. So two things from that game I want to get to. First, with that defeat, as well as the Red Sox have played of late, you are now on the outside looking in. You are not in the playoffs as of the moment. The Cleveland Guardians passed you today, and or in the last 24 hours. The Cleveland Guardians passed you today. The Red Sox are now a half game out of the final wild card spot. It's only a half game, not the end of the world. You have a series with Cleveland, oddly enough, coming up this week, playing them for the first time this year. But the point is, you've played yourself back in it, but you haven't accomplished anything yet. You follow me on that, Matt McCarthy?
Absolutely.
Okay, so yes, they dug out of their hole, but they haven't dug out to the point where now they're lock, stock, and barrel in the playoffs. It's a fight from here to the finish line. That's what it's going to be, and this is still the damage that was done from that really bad start at the beginning of the year. When you go 10-19, and then you play 24-11 over the next 35, which is what the Red Sox have done, you're still only four games over 500 for the season, and as of now, out of the playoffs. So don't lose sight of that. It's been a nice run, but it's also been a hot streak that all it really did was negate a bad streak, which brings us to point number two. And a certain player on the roster who's again gone south. Matt McCarthy, do you care to share?
Oh, yes. That would be Trevor Story, Maz, who had two really good weeks. And other than that, has been one of the worst hitters in the American League. He's been horrible. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. Trevor Story has 9 home runs, and they all came during that two-week stretch where he was the hottest player on planet Earth. Actually, the second hottest hitter on planet Earth behind J.D. Martinez. So he wasn't even the hottest hitter on the team. Other than that, Maz, this guy continues to disappoint. He continues to be a problem for the Red Sox. And I don't know how else to say it. And I mean, he's third in the American League in strikeouts, Maz. There is way, way too much swing and miss in his game. He's too easy and out for a $140 million player.
And so I'll tell you what, the reason this is a good day to bring up story, he went 0 for 5 yesterday with 3 strikeouts. He was 0 for 2 with men in scoring position. He's the number 6 guy in that lineup. And so the Red Sox have gone through this little stretch lately in which they haven't really been hitting. So the Oakland games almost don't count. Other than the first two Oakland games, if you were to go back to that whole West Coast trip, they really didn't swing the bats well in Anaheim and Seattle. It's not like they were pounding the ball all over the place. They didn't score yesterday. I mean, they got 3, but it's not like they were getting 7-8 runs a game like they were when they were when they started to turn their season around. And story is a big part of it. And look, again, this will be a story all year long as it pertains to the second baseman, because he apparently is also going to be the future shortstop, or at least we think he is. So it's something to continue to watch with Trevor Story. And when I talk about the Red Sox digging themselves out of a hole, and by the way, we'll get to your calls here momentarily, 617-779-0985. But when I say the Red Sox, by having that hot streak, all they did was really dig themselves out of a hole, who is a better example of that, or a microcosm of that, or the embodiment of that, than Trevor Story? The Red Sox have now played 64 games this year. Okay, 64 games, they're 34-30. Just a little over 500, so a little better than average. And again, as of right now, out of the playoffs. Trevor Story, during his 23-game stretch, okay, and that's where all the damage came in. It was actually a span of about 3 weeks.
Yep.
But he hit the ball well for those 3 weeks. 279, OPS over 1,000, 9 home runs and 30 RBI in 23 games. That's when they really started to turn it around. They started to win. So you look at Trevor Story's numbers, and you would say, well, he's among the American League leaders in RBI, or you know, you want to look at OPS or things like that. But what I would ask you is, how consistent has he been? And see, this is what separates the good players from the bad ones.
Bogarts from Story. Just so, make that comparison right there.
So this is what I'm getting at, Matt. And these are the kinds of guys that I think really, you know, they look good on paper. But when you really examine their performance, the Red Sox have played 64 games. In two-thirds of them, basically, Trevor Story is hitting 179 with no home runs and 12 RBI. In those 41 games, 179. So he does all his damage in 23 games, which, again, is a little more than a third of the schedule. But just to make it easier, it basically is one-third of the year he is hit. The rest of the year, he's done nothing. Does that make him worth the money?
No. Like, not even close.
Even if the net numbers came out average, does that make him worth the money?
No.
Because I say no.
No. Look at a player like Xander Bogaerts, who is consistent throughout the year. And isn't that our complaint with players like Bobby Dalbec and Jackie Bradley Jr.? You know, Jackie Bradley Jr. can go on hot streaks, you know, hotter than the sun. And then at the end of the year, you look at it and you say, well, okay, you know, he did hit 18 home runs. And I guess in his best season, you know, he hit 250. Well, yeah, but that's because he hit, you know, 380 in 1 month, and the rest of the year, it wasn't that great. So that's exactly what you're seeing with a player like Trevor Story, Maz. He's too inconsistent. He's a front-running player. All right, Trevor Story, and you know, not to overload you with stats,
but the
stats don't lie. When the Red Sox lead by 4 or more runs, Maz, Trevor Story's batting 273. Pretty good. You know what he's hitting in late and close situations, which Baseball Reference defines as plate appearances in the 7th inning or later with the Red Sox tied ahead by 1 or the tying run on deck. So close clutch situations in close ball games.
I'm going to say 170.
He's hitting .152.
Wow.
.152. And the reason why, Maz, is because you can attack him. You can attack him. There's too much swing and miss in his game. He's too inconsistent a ball player. He's an easy out. If you make a mistake, he'll clean up on it. If you don't throw hard, he'll clean up on it. But if you're a good pitcher, or if you're a pitcher who's willing to attack him late in a ball game, say, I'm going to go after this guy. I'm going to challenge him. Got a couple runners on base. I'm going to just challenge him with my fastball. He won't hit it. He won't hit it because he's a flawed baseball player. He's a deeply flawed baseball player who will go on hot stretches, no doubt about it, and maybe the stats will look okay at the end of the year. But ask yourself, is this guy a really good baseball player or not? I don't think he is. I think he's an average and a deeply flawed baseball player.
So I'll tell you what. Look, and again, I'm not telling you I think that the guy sucks. Because no. I like some elements of Trevor Story's game. It's a great base runner.
Great base runner, really athletic.
Good defensive player. Yep. Like there's
has
a lot,
power.
There's a lot to like there. Okay. But remember that the question is this the next guy at short? Is this the next guy? You play 64 games and for 41 of them you had a .179 with no home runs, and your totals are 9-40. I'm supposed to be happy about the 3 weeks that you hit when the rest of the time you didn't do anything? Like that, there's way too much of the time that he is an easy out. Ryan's in a truck. He'll kick us off tonight on the Baseball Hour. What do you got, Ryan?
Hey, how you doing? I believe that Trevor Story's signing was a mistake. He's a mistake hitter at best. He hits mistakes. How do they not look at the splits? He's a disaster. This is so bad, and now they're locked into just another bad contract.
Okay, so again, Ryan, define bad contract. We'll figure it out. I will tell you that, you know, he's right now he's not playing like a $23 million player, but he's not playing like a $5 million player either. I mean, there is some value in there. And let's not forget, the most highly paid guys in the game now get 35 or 40. Mm-hmm. He's at 23. Matt, if you could, just quickly, look up his left-right splits this year.
Oh, I've got them right here for you.
Oh, you do?
At least the OPS, and I can get you the other splits, too.
I'd love to know the batting average, too, if you can get it.
Sure. OPS against righties, for Story, 668. OPS against lefties, 841.
Okay, so there you go. Again, he's 200 points better against... And you know what? That is the perfect metric for him. Because you're going to see righties... I'm sorry, yeah, you're going to see righties 70% of the time.
Right.
So 70% of the time, he's not going to give you anything. The other 30%, the numbers will be pretty good.
Batting average, 240 against lefties, 212 against righties.
And they'll skew the real data. Okay, they'll skew it. Sean is in Taunton on Trevor Story. Go ahead, Sean.
So my question is for you is, in the offseason, Trevor Story was looking for the Yankees, and they obviously got Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Do you think that they made the smarter decision over the Red Sox paying Story $140?
So, no, I don't connect it to the Yankees. I really don't. I don't make that decision that way at all. No. The way I look at it is, why did the Red Sox sign Trevor Story? What was their impetus for signing Trevor Story? And I think it was twofold. Primarily, I'm not sure Bloom even wanted him, frankly.
Oh, I disagree with that.
He doesn't feel like a Chaim Bloom signing. And I don't think it's unusual that all of a sudden this popped out of the woodwork when the clubhouse started grumbling about the fact that the Red Sox weren't adding any players in spring training after the lockout ended. Like, so was this done to appease the locker room, the clubhouse? Was it done to appease the fan base? Was it done to leverage Xander Bogaerts? And all three of those things could be true, by the way, and maybe they are. But I don't think it related to the Yankees. And again, if you told me Trevor Story's staying here, Matt, and the idea was for him to play second base alongside Xander Bogaerts going forward, I'm okay with that.
I am too.
I'm totally fine with that. I like him in that role. Where I don't like him is replacing your number three hitter at shortstop. Now, defensively, he's a better player than Bogaerts, but he can't hit third.
No.
Let's not delude ourselves into that. So how are they going to use him? And how are they going to use another guy who's on his way back? We'll examine the question about Chris Sale when we come back with Matt McCarthy on the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
At this point, nothing really matters other than getting back out there. And whatever that means, you've kind of seen the evolution of our pitching staff. You know, we got different guys are hot at different times. So if we got five guys rolling in the rotation and they're like, well, hey, you're going to go to the bullpen. If we're holding it down out there and we need somebody in the rotation, then I slide in there. Luckily, we have the flexibility to do that. I have experience doing both, and at the end of the day, whatever it is, it is. For me, pitching is pitching. Strike one, strike two, strike three, get them out. You know, hand me the ball, I'll throw it till you take it. So that's where I'm at.
That is obviously Chris Sale earlier in the week talking about his willingness to pitch in the bullpen. He wants to get back as quickly as possible. Whatever they need is what I'll do. If everybody in the rotation is pitching well and if they need me in the bullpen, I'll do that, which I'll commend him for. I mean, it's a good attitude. No ego there with Sale. It's whatever it is, we'll do what's best for the team. And I do believe he's that kind of guy. Where would you put him, Matt McCarthy?
I would put him in the bullpen. And this is a change from where I've been in years past when Sale has come back. I mean, I am old school Maz. I value starting pitching over relievers. That's just how I feel. I still have not been able to get out of that mindset and mentality, even in this modern day in baseball. That being said, I've seen them try this before. You know, oh, we can get Chris Sale on a program. We'll build him up strong. All that. I've heard that a million times before. And you know what always happens, Maz? Is by the time you get to September and October, he has faded. He has faded, and every time he takes the ball down the stretch at the end of the season, you're wondering, what am I going to get from this guy? Is he going to be able to give you anything? And it feels like three or four innings are a miracle. Game 5 LCS 2018, can't go. David Price has to start. Game 5 World Series 2018, can't go. David Price has to start. Now, he came in out of the bullpen, and he was effective in one inning. So at this point, I'm just trying something new. Do I like the idea of having my $30 million a year ace be my closer or be my relief ace or go to the bullpen? No. But at this point, I want to try something different because I know the other way is not going to work. I know by the time we get to October, he won't have much left in the tank. Let's try it differently this time. Isn't the definition of insanity repeating the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? I feel like that's where we are with Chris Sale.
Okay, so the logic on Sale is good. I'm not telling you your logic is wrong. Not that I'm sitting here to judge, you know, you're entitled to believe whatever you want. And I think there's a lot of merit to that, putting him in the bullpen. Here's why I wouldn't. And again, this is now the traditionalist in me. And that is that historically with guys who have injuries, you want to keep them on a program. That's really it. I mean, that's it for me. You know, if you told me, if you could guarantee me his health, I'd put him in the bullpen. I would. I'd put Garrett Whitlock in the bullpen. So my hope is that by Sale coming back to the rotation, that Whitlock goes back to the pen. Okay, because they need help in the bullpen. But, and now look, I should also mention that the day after Sale said what he said, Alex Cora came out and said he's going to be a starter. Yep. Okay, so we're just having the debate because this is at the core of what, you know, A, how the Red Sox run it now, and B, how the game is. Relievers mean more than starters. So all things being equal, if the Red Sox are pitching the way they are in the rotation and Sale would go into the bullpen, hell yeah. Hell yeah, I would do it in a second. And I think that the problem is that if they put him out in the bullpen, they're going to have to use him basically the way they were using Whitlock right. Early in the year.
Scheduled.
Right. Two or three innings twice a week. Something like that and give him three days off in between. They got to let him build it up again and tear it down and all that. It's going to be on a very strict schedule. So you don't necessarily get to pick your spots. If Whitlock goes back into the bullpen, I have to believe, as they're doing with Tanner Houck, it's going to be with the idea of one or two innings tops, really one, and you'll pitch three or four times a week. So now I love Whitlock, so I want him to end up in that role, and I think he's more valuable in that role, and I think it has been proven already. Albeit in a short sample or a short period of time, small Agreed. Sample, that he's a mediocre starter or relative, you know, he's a pretty good starter. Yep. He's a great reliever. Great. And I'd rather have the second thing in an age where baseball and the Red Sox analysts don't value starting pitching the way they used to.
I would put them both in the bullpen, Maz. And I hear what you're saying about, you know, getting Sale on a schedule. But you know what? I think you can. In 2022, I think you can schedule guys in the bullpen. And then hopefully by the end of the year, you feel confident enough having Sale go a little bit off schedule. But I'd put Whitlock back there. I'd put Sale in the bullpen. Because to me, between Whitlock, Sale, and maybe Houck, maybe all of a sudden you have a real bullpen or something close to it. And I go out and I trade for a starter at the deadline. Or I call somebody up from Worcester because they've got four kids in Worcester who are knocking on the door right now. The state of the pitching in the farm system is as good as it's been in well over a decade. So I figure out that spot in the rotation. I send Whitlock back to the bullpen. I send Sale to the bullpen. And I try and fix the bullpen internally. And I try and supplement the starting rotation externally, or at least, you know, at least with somebody from Worcester.
Okay, I want to get to the trading deadline in the Red Sox system as well. We'll do that in the next couple of segments. But we'll take a couple of calls here. 617-779-0985. Anthony's on the Cape on Trevor Story. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, Tony, before the season, I called you to talk about how disgusting Trevor Story's split stats were. But at the same time, I wanted to reserve judgment because I'd never seen him play. And we agreed on that. Let's give the guy a chance.
Okay, so no, listen, I know we disagreed on Story, and that doesn't mean you're wrong. So I just put you on hold for a second. We disagreed on Story at the time. But I've told you, Anthony, I like the passion that you bring every night, so keep going.
Right. So listen, I wanted to give the guy a chance to play, and I didn't know he was such a great athlete. I think he's a really good ball player, but I thought he had turned a corner last month, and now he's reverted back. Here's the thing I've identified with him. And, Maz, you talked about it with the high 90s fastball, but McCarthy, you got his baseball reference page up. Go to his career splits and look at two strike hitting. This guy is abysmal, okay? When he's ahead in the count, and when it's early in the count with one strike, no strikes, whatever, he tears the cut. He's great. With two strikes, he has a horrible approach. And I just think he needs to change his two-strike hitting approach, go with much more of a contact opposite field approach. I think this is fixable. I'm not giving up on this guy yet.
So, look, Anthony, he is a terrific athlete. And you know what? He is a good ball player. I'm not telling you he's a bum. I'm just comparing him to Bogarts. And defensively, you want to tell me Bogarts has limitations? Sure.
He's played well this year defensively, though.
But he's steady is what he is. He's a steady defensive player. He's not sensational, but he's steady. And he's also steady at the plate, at least for the first half. He typically fades because he likes to play all the time. If I were the Red Sox, I'd fight him on that. But with regard to Story, do you have the two-strike numbers in front of you?
This year, he's hitting .165 with a .576 OPS.
Okay.
I mean, all you need to do is look at his strikeout numbers. He's third in the American League in strikeouts. That tells you he's not a good two-strike hitter. He led the National League 5 years ago, 17, I want to say. He led the National League in strikeouts with 191. So, I mean, we're talking about a guy with a tremendous amount of swing and miss in his game. Anthony says that's fixable. Theoretically, yeah, it is fixable. Hey, shorten up, choke up on the bat. It's okay to knock one the other way. He hasn't done it. This is who he is. You have to want to fix it. He doesn't want to fix it.
Can you find the career numbers of two strikes in there if you would too, Matt? I'm just curious on that. Again, I don't think Story's a bum. I just don't think he's a middle-of-the-order bat. That's all, and that's what Xander Bogaerts is at shortstop.
Two strikes, career, .175.
Okay, again, horrible.
With a .589 OPS.
And while you're at it, now go back to this year. I'm sorry, Matt, to bounce all over the place. I want to know what he's hitting against right-handers this year.
He's hitting .212 with a OPS. I want to say it's .668. There you go.
So last year was .234.
Right.
So in Colorado or out of Colorado, he can't hit righties. Tom's in Quincy. Tom, go.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, you know, I might be the only guy in Boston that's actually, you know, kind of happy that there's only one sport left, you know, to talk about. I couldn't have cared less about the past few weeks. So I'm happy the Sox are going to be the focus for some people. It's been my focus since opening day. I've had the same issues and, you know, stuff like that. The Story thing, I've been against that from day one. Secondly, the Sale thing, I have no idea what you're going to expect to get from him anyway. My thing is, with the tear that the Sox have been on recently, is because they've beat garbage teams, and the fact that no matter how many games they seem to win, they cannot gain an effing half a game on the Yankees because the Yankees are playing on like another planet this year. So they already played themselves out of the division by the horrendous beginning to this season. So I don't care how many games you play against the dredges of the of Major League Baseball. You've dug yourself too far a hole, and coming out of fourth place in the East is not going to get you into the playoffs this year. I hope to God something miraculous happens, but my hope is minimal at best.
Okay, so Tom, you know what? I'm not convinced of that, that fourth place in the East won't get you in. It might. It might.
It should.
The rest of the league's really not that good.
That's the issue.
I mean, the rest of the league really isn't. Now, I suppose you could get a team out of the Central. Cleveland, again, is in front of you right now. I think you're better than Cleveland.
You are. Cleveland can pitch, by the way. Cleveland can pitch. They got good young pitchers. But they've got one hitter, Ramirez, who's spectacular. He's going to be, you know, in the MVP discussion in the American League. I look at the rest of that lineup and I say, this is not sustainable. It's just not. You're better than them. The White Sox are a mess. The rest of the American League is a mess. Maz, you're going to run into teams like the A's eventually. That's just, you're going to run into enough of those teams, and you should not miss the playoffs. Are the Red Sox a flawed team? Yes. Are they in a tough division? Yes. Is July going to be tough on the schedule? Yes. They should be one of the six best teams in the American League. That is such a tremendously low bar. Look at the competition around you.
I'm glad you said that. Six out of, you're telling me you can't be sixth out of 15 teams?
The Red Sox, in this current format, Maz, the Red Sox should never miss the playoffs ever again. Ever. Based on the way that baseball is going, half the league isn't trying, okay? Look at the rest of the American League. Look at the rest of baseball as a whole. The A's aren't trying. The Royals aren't trying. The Orioles aren't trying. You can literally wipe out five or six teams in the American League at the beginning of the year. And then you're competing with teams like Texas, who aren't good, just spend a bunch of money. The White Sox, who are a dumpster fire. And the Indians, are the Guardians, they weren't trying either. They had a fire sale. It just turns out that they can pitch and they've got a good manager. You should outlast them. You should absolutely outlast them.
I mean, if you can't finish as the sixth best team in the league, then what are we doing?
With a $240 million payroll? I mean, that's that you should be looking for wholesale changes if you can't finish sixth or better in this day and age in baseball.
So the question is, with the deadline, you know, 6 weeks away, call it, what do the Red Sox do?
You should buy aggressively. Okay. You're a playoff team.
So McCarthy and I will examine that a little more thoroughly here when we come back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more baseball and more Mavs.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mavs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rafael Devers mentioned it earlier. He's hit a home run in four consecutive games. Can he do it again?
How about some magic right here?
Little ground ball instead to third. Gobbled up by Bryant. Sent to second, Vasquez down to third, and hold the phone on what was a routine ground ball.
Oh, what a gift! You've got to be kidding me!
Ref Snyder scores, Kotze coming out of the dugout. Second and third now, with JD coming up.
Wow, you got to feel bad for this kid, but guess what? The Red Sox will take this gift in a heartbeat.
Again, that was yesterday. Red Sox are trailing 4-1 at the time. Would have been the final out of the inning. Easy play. Easy play. The third baseman chucked it over the first baseman's head by about 8 feet, like he bit the top off a grenade and freaking fired it over there. Devers ends up at second. They get second and third, 4-2. Martinez then hits a ball up the middle that I think it was Tony Kemp playing second base, who used to play with the Astros, if you remember, from 2018.
Katuit Kettleer, great Tony Kemp, Maz.
He made a
Cape League MVP in 2012.
If the ball gets by him, it's a tie game 4-4. He knocks it down. Devers has to stay at third, can't score. The Red Sox only get one on it, and they end up losing the game 4-3. So it was cost. I mean, it was a big play by Kemp, but the Red Sox nearly pulled it out, all because this guy couldn't throw to first base. I mean, you had to see this throw. It was extra postage, airmail. Wow. So I want to take a couple of calls, and I want to get to Matt McCarthy with thoughts about the deadline. There was an interesting item on ESPN.com recently concerning the buyers and sellers at the deadline, mostly the buyers. And I want to ask Matt his opinion on something. Mike is in Baltimore. Go ahead, Mike.
Good evening, Maserati. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I wanted to compliment you on your job as an analyst doing these games on TV. I don't pass out compliments lightly. You have been terrific.
Thank you. So go ahead. What else you got?
Let's get that out of the way. Shohei Ohtani, you have had a chance to see him as a fan, as a talk show host, and now broadcasting games. I watched all the games from Anaheim last week. I'm from Boston. You described him as a one-man show. So I'm asking you, to fans across the country like me, is he deserving of all the hype and the praise that he gets from the West Coast writers and the West Coast media? Because I don't sit up and watch Angels games every night. So I'm asking you your thoughts on him.
Okay, I'll let you go. Let me ask McCarthy first. What do you think of Ohtani?
I think he's the coolest baseball player I've ever seen in my life, Maz. I went to the game where he pitched at Fenway Park. It's the most electric experience I've had as a baseball fan at a ballpark since a Pedro Martinez start. He's that good. And, oh, yeah, he hits bombs, too. And he hits bombs to the opposite field. We'll never see anything like it ever again. He's so cool. I don't know how else to say it. He's tremendous. He throws 100. He hits, you know, balls with authority to the opposite field. It's absolutely criminal that he's in Anaheim. Baseball needs to find a way to get him out of there. It's just, he needs to be playing in a place like Boston or New York. It'd be so good for the sport. We'll never see anything like it again. I love the guy.
He's a unicorn. It's what he is. And here's what I love about it. I think teams might be more open now to, you know, to players who can both hit and pitch. It used to be that you had to pick one or the other. It was either or. Now, I think because of Ohtani, they say, well, wait a minute, maybe he can do both. The Red Sox had a prospect years ago, I'm not going to bore you with all the details, who was both a shortstop and a pitcher.
Yep,
Frankie Rodriguez.
Kelly, right?
Oh, well, you're talking about Casey Kelly.
Pat Kelly's kid, right?
That sounds right. Yeah. But you know, typically they make those guys pick one or the other. You can't be both. Ohtani, I'll tell you what's impressed me about Ohtani. His first year in the big leagues, his walk totals were really high. And I thought, well, this guy's not as good a pitcher as everyone says. Yep. He's going to walk people.
He's improved.
He then had Tommy John shortly thereafter, and he throws a ton of strikes now. So I don't know whether it was a nerves thing or it was an elbow thing. Maybe, you know, I should dig into this because I'm sure someone wrote about it. But he is great theater. He's great for the game. And if you can get a guy like that, you can get more of them. And I don't know how many more you want, but just open the door for more to exist. That's a good thing.
Real quick, though, it's how good he is at both. It's not the fact that he does both, which is impressive enough. He's an all-star caliber hitter and pitcher.
Exactly.
Which is absurd.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely absurd.
Exactly. Let me squeeze in Jacob in a car quickly. Jacob on Chris Sale.
Hey, how's it going? So I have a question. Like, do you guys put any stock in Sale's salary when it comes to either putting him in the bullpen or starting him? Because he does have a starting pitcher salary, right?
Yes. So, Matt, you mentioned this. And, I mean, I'd be naive to think that it doesn't factor in.
Right.
So what I would ask you, and so is that one of the reasons the Red Sox are putting him in the rotation? Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Should they? No. You should do what's best for your team, independent of what the contract is. Once the contract is here, you have to live with it either way. So what, just because Trevor Story's making $23 million, you got to hit him third? Like, that would be stupid. If he sucks, he sucks. So no good. But in the discussion we had about Sale, what I wanted to ask you was, take the money out of it. Take all of it out of it. What is, for this team, what's the best use of Chris Sale? Do you believe bullpen?
I think it's in the bullpen. I think that's where they need the most help. I mean, I think you can find something representable in your starting rotation a little bit more easily than you can find a back end of the bullpen arm right now in baseball. I mean, those are just more valuable. And I think it gives you the best chance to get something out of Chris Sale in September and October. Like, he'll come back as a starter, and he'll look good, and he'll give you something over the summer. But he's going to fade because he
even
always
in a shorter
fades.
Season?
Yeah, well, he did last year, right? Now, of course, he was coming off Tommy John last year, and he's coming off the rib this year. It's a little bit different. But I've seen Chris Sale fade. I saw him fade in 17. I saw him fade in 18. I saw him fade last year. That's who he is because he breaks down. He doesn't have the build for it. That's why I'd try it differently this time. I'd try him as a reliever. You know, the White Sox thought he was a reliever initially. He came up as a reliever, and then they moved him to the rotation. He was dominant. Obviously, he was on a great contract. You're not going to move him back to the bullpen. But I think there's a chance he holds up better in the bullpen. I'm willing to try it at this point. Why the hell not?
See, I'm not worried about him fading this year. And by the way, when you say they're better served to use him in the bullpen, you're right. The need is in the bullpen.
Yeah.
The bigger need is there. I just, again, I've been brainwashed by this whole injured guys, keeping them in the rotation, keep the schedule set so they can stay healthy. Oddly enough, the Red Sox did that with Garrett Whitlock, and it feels to me like he got hurt doing that. Mm-hmm. So I'm eager to see what happens with Whitlock, because I wonder if maybe he's one of these guys you can't give a big workload to in terms of innings. Maybe you're better off using him for one or two innings at a time, three times a week, and he responds better to it, let alone with what the results have been. So the trading deadline is coming up. These are all things that factor in, because Chris Sale, obviously, there's a need in the bullpen. You put him in the rotation. Maybe Whitlock goes to the bullpen, what have you. On ESPN.com about a week ago, and it might even have been earlier this week. Honestly, I've lost complete track of time with everything that's been going on here. But there was a story that said it listed the Red Sox as a maybe buyer at the deadline and made reference to Chaim Bloom's conservative approach at the deadline and whether or not he'd be willing to make a sizable move for this team. I know you've already said you want them to be aggressive. Are you worried that Bloom won't be?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'd be shocked if they were aggressive. But I just think they're missing the mark. And, you know, Maz, when you were off on Monday, we kind of did the whole show on this. It was the future is kind of now with this Red Sox team. You know, we keep hearing about, you know, what's coming down the pipeline and how the farm system's better, and it is. And Chaim Bloom deserves a lot of credit for that. But look at where this team might be next year. Bogarts is essentially a free agent. Martinez is a free agent. Kike Hernandez is a free agent. Christian Vasquez is a free agent. Rafael Devers' contract situation is going to come to a reckoning this offseason. He might be gone. He might be traded. If you don't sign him, they will trade him, I assume. Nate Eovaldi is a free agent. You're talking about your three best hitters, your center fielder, and your catcher. Literally the middle of your roster all could be gone. And I get that your farm system is better and you've got this bright future coming up, but you're not going to replace all of those guys with guys from your farm system. It's just not going to happen. So I think in many ways the future is now. You were in the ALCS last year. You've got a core that's capable of winning. Go out and add aggressively at this trading deadline. You're going to be a playoff team. We just talked about how easy it should be to be a playoff team in the American League. Be aggressive. Go out and do it. I think the future is now, but I don't think they feel that way.
Yeah, I'm not confident in his willingness to do that at the deadline either. But here's what we're going to do. I want to ask Matt about the depth of that farm system, too. He follows the minor leagues closely. We'll do that. We'll give you the performer of the week when we wrap it up here on the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, quickly, before we get to the trading deadline, Performer of the Week brought to you by Win Waste Interventions. Innovations. Friday, man, 7 o'clock. Well, Win Waste Innovations, the official waste and recycling services provider of the 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots and Bruins networks. Visit win-waste.com today for all of your waste and recycling needs. You want any guesses as to who the so again, the performer of the week, I always start on Sunday.
Yep. Unless you want to play around with it a little bit.
So, yeah, well, yeah. Which I sometimes do, because you need a performer of the week. Any guesses?
I'm going to guess. Just a hunch, Maz. Rafi Devers.
Good guess, but would you believe me if I told you that he's only hitting .231? Of course, he's got three home runs and seven RBIs.
And they've all been bombs.
They've been big hits. He's got three hits, but they're all home runs. Xander Bogaerts, 7-for-14. Three doubles, .500 batting average. He's your performer of the week. I almost picked Rob Refsnyder, but I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Hey, real quick, though.
Freaking Rob Refsnyder. I'm going to give him the performer of the week, all due respect.
Real quick, though. Rob Refsnyder should stick around.
Yeah.
He should absolutely stick around.
Well, he's what they need. He's a real right-handed hitting outfielder.
Yep, and he's versatile. You know, he's played almost 40 games in the big leagues at first base. he should stick around. I'm not sold on Dahlbeck. I'm not sold on Cordero. He's better than Arroyo. Rob Refsnyder should be on the big league roster.
Okay, quickly, in like 60 seconds-ish, your opinion on the Red Sox minor league system?
Well, I mean, I think it's really good. I mean, it's stronger than it's been in a long time. So now it's time to start using it. You know, you have, you know, prospects. You have four pitchers right now in AAA, and I'm counting Winkowski, Maz, who could, you know, potentially help this team this year. In Winkowski, Seabold, Bayo, who I think is the most exciting pitching prospect they've had in a decade, and Walter, a lefty. So it's time to start using that farm system aggressively. Jaron Duran's here, too. Do you believe in him or do you not believe in him? There are two ways you can go about using your farm system. You can call guys up to supplement your roster. You need help, you know, with this pitching staff. Start calling a couple of those guys up. Keep Winkowski up here for a little bit. You need help in your outfield? Call Duran up. Let him get a real chance at it. Or you trade them. Or you get aggressive at the deadline. As you know it, you've been around the game a long time. If they've got four pitchers in Worcester who you feel good about, how many of those guys are going to be impact big leaguers?
Two, one. Maybe zero.
Yeah, I think with this group, they'll get one or two. Because you should feel good about it, because there's a lot of talent there. Don't hold on to all four. Don't do it. Be aggressive. Don't wait and find out who's real and who's not. Use your best hunch. Move on from one or two of those guys. Winkowski looked good. I think he's got some Rick Porcello in him. Does that mean you shouldn't trade him? No. Go out and shop him around. See if you can get Montas. See if you can get Luis Castillo. See if Winkowski can be a part of that package. Get aggressive with your farm system, and that doesn't mean trade him. If you don't want to trade him, that's fine. Bring him up and see what you've got. Now's the time. Get aggressive.
Okay, they got the artillery down there to make some deals. I'm with you. Don't half-ass it at this deadline. I think it's a big deadline for Bloom.
And real quick, don't pillage it either like Dave Dombrowski.
No, you want some
of those guys to come up and help you. But you got to pick and choose. You can't hold on to all four pitchers right now at AAA. You can't do it.
You know what? I'm going to do something on this next week. Because every young executive I've ever covered, they all fall in love with their prospects. And Bloom's doing the same thing. But I'll hold my breath on that until next week. Cardinals in town this weekend. For your Red Sox series.
Good series, by
it
the
is
way.
A good series.
Good test.
Cardinals are in first place in the National League Central. It is a good test. So our thanks to Matt McCarthy for joining. Thanks to you for listening. Christian Arkand and Sean Silver will have you for the balance of the night. Everybody have a fabulous week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.